You're listening to local and regional news on KMUN. I'm Ava Berardi. The city of Tillamook called a summit of business owners and residents to discuss the frustrating parking situation downtown. Currently, there is no strict parking enforcement, leading some employees and residents to use prohibited street parking spaces and city-owned lots. The group said it was largely opposed to continuing with this approach. City Manager Sean Lewis presented options on how to address the current concerns. Attendees were relatively receptive to one idea, which involves adding a fee to business licenses. The revenue generated would go to hiring 2 part-time parking enforcement officers. Lewis said that implementing the plan would take between 6 months to a year. Concerns were raised about the lack of parking for employees. Business owners floated the idea to designate 1 or more city-owned lots to employee parking. Data and feedback gathered from the summit will be discussed at a future City Council work session. This story comes to us through a news partnership with the Tillamook Headlight Herald, online at tillamookheadlightherald.com. The Tillamook Air Museum will stay closed indefinitely. This comes after the Port of Tillamook Bay's Board of Commissioners voted 4-1 to stop spending port resources to repair Hangar B following roof damage from the December storm. With outside funding failing to materialize, commissioners agreed that the costs of repairing and maintaining the hangar outstripped the port's financial resources. The board said they understood the decision would be unpopular, but they said it was time to face the financial reality of the situation and consider how else they can use port resources. The board will find a federal agency to help fund the larger asbestos remediation process as part of decommissioning or rehabilitating the building. This story comes to us through a news partnership with the Tillamook Headlight Herald, online at tillamookheadlightherald.com. The district attorney in Lake County said in April he would resign due to a lack of finances for his office. But new documents and interviews reveal Lake County leaders had previously called on DA Paul Charis to resign or face a recall. They said he pursued very few cases in his year in office and failed to collaborate with local law enforcement. Steve Yates is a retired Oregon State Police Sergeant who organized the recall effort. He said many believe Charis was unqualified for the job.
He just did not seem to be willing to fulfill the responsibilities of his office. That caused me a great deal of concern.
Charis insists his decision to resign was due to budget issues. He will remain in office until August.
It's a Wednesday night in the East Portland Grand Avenue Historic District. We're in a 130-year-old building that currently houses the cocktail bar Swan Dive. Up the creaky wooden stairs on the second floor, a sold-out crowd anxiously awaits tonight's spectacle.
I have been a performer in Portland for almost 10 years. I started getting into wrestling a couple years ago, but I found that I didn't really have enough people to practice basics with.
That's Clancy Kramer, one of the founders of House of Danger.
I didn't have any dreams of putting on any shows. I asked my friend V if they would like to help me find some people, and the rest is history.
Me and Clancy used to practice wrestling moves at Peninsula Park. We would lay a little tarp down on the grass and practice every single Tuesday evening. That was the inception of this, and slowly more and more people got involved.
That's V Lay, Kramer's partner in House of Danger, who also wrestles under the name The CPA. Yeah. They wrestle and do taxes.
Every single wrestler is queer or trans. I've performed in every single one of the matches, and it's just really fun to come up with your persona, really like nail down a performance and get to know so many people through this community. It's been super awesome.
Queer comedy and drag are pretty common, but you don't often hear about queer wrestling. Kramer points out a direct line between the two.
I think a lot of people have made the point that wrestling is drag, like factually. Drag as an idea is the overt performance of a gender. I'm not a huge fan of sports, but I enjoy athletics. It's like a sport, but we are all on the same team. There's a winner and a loser, air quotes. Yeah. But if the show was a success, we all won.
The freedom Kramer and Lay have to produce House of Danger makes it different from other wrestling events.
I think that there is a lot more space to do some of the wilder ideas that I'm sure that regular pro wrestling, if they're going to do queer storylines, it's usually a joke.
The wrestlers at House of Danger take their personas and storylines seriously. Kylie Karma is the champion who is determined to hold on to her belt. She sports a pink sparkly outfit, similar to a figure skater. Ursa Rager is just getting his footing in the real world after being raised by bears. Putadora has never wrestled before, but she's here to defend her cousin, Princesa Payaso, with her whirling maces and space buns. And don't discount Vigo Volante. You may think you can take him, but he didn't get the name the Italian Stallion by losing.
All right, are we ready? Ring that bell! Six competitors entering the crucible of queer combat. Alliances will be made, hearts will be broken.
As the wrestlers prepare for battle, the ring assistants set up thick black wrestling mats in front of the stage on the floor. They're just a few feet from the audience. There's no ring, no ropes, just a brick wall and a padded post that, if they're lucky, they'll avoid being thrown into.
Introducing first, your World House of Danger champion, Kylie Karma!
There's a love triangle between the trust fund baby, Cash Coyote, the CPA, and Kylie Karma. Tonight, they're not just fighting for the championship, they're fighting for love.
My name's Ethan. My stage name is Vigo Volante, or the Italian Stallion. I'm fighting everybody today.
We are about to see a new competitor enter. 10!
9!
Vigo did say he'd be fighting everyone tonight.
Ursa absolutely having his way with Vigo. And that's amore. When a fist hits your eye like a big pizza pie.
Half of the wrestling takes place down on the floor, grappling style. Kicks and throws are stylized. Nobody's getting hurt here, but they are working hard.
Kylie Karma has shown to be absolutely surgical. Cash Coyote will absolutely do whatever it takes to bring home the win tonight. Kylie Karma regaining control.
Kylie Karma retains the championship. Kylie Karma.
Kylie keeps her belt, and as she basks in her win, she gets one last surprise. She whirls around to find the CPA down on one knee proposing marriage. There may not have been a wrestling ring, but there was a ring for Kylie's finger. We couldn't hear the proposal, but Kylie's answer was clear.
She said yes! She said yes! She said yes! She said yes! Oh my God!
At a time when it feels like many beloved queer spaces have closed their doors, Clancy and V have made space for something new.
There was an audience of people who did want to come out and see this and experience this, but didn't necessarily want to enter the spaces of pro wrestling. They feel scary. They aren't. But I think having queer in the title makes people feel more like, oh yeah, I can go to that. That's safe.
Practice your cheers and jeers. All are welcome in the House of Danger. From Southeast Portland, I'm Lisa Wood for OPB.
The FIFA World Cup is the globe's biggest sporting event, and this year it's coming to North America. Seattle will host six matches, and cities across the region will host fan zones and watch parties. There's just one problem. Lots of Americans aren't that into soccer. Spokane Public Radio's Eliza Billingham reports on how to get excited about the action if you're brand new to the sport.
Hundreds of soccer fans are crammed under the only covered section at One Spokane Stadium because it just started hailing. It's the Spokane Zephyrs' last game of the season. The women's club started in 2024 as the city's first top-tier professional sports team.
I love soccer, yeah. I love watching it.
Jennifer Richwood is one of the fans trying to stay dry.
I mean, I like the activity. I like watching the players and, like, you know, struggling to get the ball into the goal and everything. But if you're not really into soccer, you just have to go to a game with a good crowd and then you can people watch.
Plenty of Spokaneites are not really into soccer, which is why this isn't just the last game of the Zephyr season. The team is shutting down because it wasn't selling enough tickets. And that's not uncommon for soccer teams across the country. The most viewed sport is American football, and the biggest sporting event in the States is the Super Bowl, which the NFL says typically draws around 130 million viewers. FIFA says the World Cup draws billions of viewers. That makes it the globe's biggest sporting event, and while it's in North America, more US fans might be paying attention. But if you're brand new to soccer, you might find it, well, a bit boring. A game might have only one or two goals. Zephyr head coach Nicole Lukic says it can be exciting to just watch for good touches. That's when a player expertly maneuvers the ball straight from the air onto the ground.
Maybe you as a person can go outside in your backyard and try to take the soccer ball down out of the air with it not bouncing away from you, and then maybe you'll have a deeper appreciation about what these players can do with their touches.
Zephyr midfielder Emma Jaskinik agrees that it's pretty simple to be casually entertained by the game.
Anybody can know if a goalkeeper makes a crazy save, like, how did they do that? Or a defender makes this crazy side tackle, or this forward takes somebody on and beats three defenders.
Some might argue that soccer is inherently un-American. But in his new book, How to Watch Soccer Like a Genius, Bay Area journalist Nick Green pushes back on that stereotype.
Soccer is a very American sport, too. American football evolved from the very same games that soccer evolved from. It just happened to do so in a different timeline and a different path.
But if you're watching soccer for the first time, you may notice that something feels foreign about it.
Soccer is a game, and I mean this as a huge compliment, that can never be invented today. There's no stoppages except for halftime. The second the ball gets kicked, you have at least the minimum of 45 minutes of action.
But if soap operas are more your style, Zephyr forward Ginger Fontenot says soccer's got you covered there, too. And Jaskinik agrees.
It's the drama.
The drama.
It's like everybody plays soccer as a drama queen. Don't let them tell you different.
Green went so far as to talk to a philosopher about the ethics of diving. That is, dramatically faking an injury to get a foul called.
He was far more permissible towards it than I would have imagined, although he's a Real Madrid fan, so that might explain some of that. But if you look at diving as a piece of spontaneous choreography, you might start, if not to appreciate it or like it, understand its place in the game.
But no matter what, even young fans like 7-year-old Layton know there's always one moment that's better than every other.
I like to watch when they get goals.
Few moments are as satisfying as when the ball finds the back of the net. I'm Eliza Billingham reporting.
Local and regional news is brought to you by our news partners and by the KMUN News Team. For more local and regional news, go to kmun.org/news. Up next, the American Democracy Minute. You're listening to KMUN.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. States conducting mid-decade redistricting racked up big bills for the special sessions, special elections, and delayed congressional primaries. And it's taxpayers, not those doing the gerrymandering, who will foot the bill. KXTV Sacramento reports that California's November 2025 special election, allowing the legislature to redistrict, cost the taxpayers $282 million, mostly in aid to counties to cover the costs. South Carolina had not yet approved its new congressional map by the time state primary ballots were mailed. The South Carolina Daily Gazette reports taxpayers face costs of up to $6 million to run a second congressional primary. Although Tennessee didn't delay its primary, Fox Nashville reports the legislature appropriated $3.1 million to cover the cost of the special session to redistrict, reimburse counties for election worker time, making IT changes, and remail now obsolete voter registration cards. Center Square reports that Alabama's August 11th delayed congressional primary will cost an estimated $4.45 million. For Virginia's April referendum, the legislature appropriated $5 million. Not including costs for county staff time. Money wasted after the state Supreme Court later invalidated the referendum as unconstitutional. We've linked to local reporting at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.